Wake Up Call continues now on the SportsMap Radio Network.
Time for the good.
That's really nice.
The bad.
That's the bad guy.
And the dumb.
What an idiot. Oh, what a loser.
All right, good, the bad, and the dumb, and a good Friday to you. And again, happy Veterans Day to all of you who have served our country. We appreciate your service more than you'll ever know. All right, let's get the good of the day.
Well, the good of the day, I mean, it's somber, but I find it great.
Okay.
If I can set it up that way.
Yeah, it's kind of an interesting setup. Yeah, right? I'm curious now.
While filming a documentary on World War II era planes that went down in and around the Bermuda Triangle,
right,
divers discovered a huge fragment of the Space Shuttle Challenger.
Oh, well, what was it? Was it an important piece? Did it
no, just
matter
part,
or just
no,
part?
Just part of the Challenger.
Oh, okay. I'm sure it was
20-foot long piece that was buried on the ocean bed. And
wow.
It looks to be part of maybe the bottom of the shuttle, like part of the heat shield, I guess.
All right. Yeah,
so,
okay.
Yeah. I mean, yeah. It's an amazing discovery.
What are they finding about the Bermuda Triangle?
What they're looking for a specific plane that went down. It was like a reconnaissance plane that went down in and around the Bermuda Triangle, like I think in 1945 or 40-something or sometime in the 40s. And they just happened upon this thing. Like they, you know, you're looking in one area and you're kind of, they were using, I want to say a fan, but I know it's not a fan, but it's like one of those motors, like a propeller that shoots you through the water. They were kind of using that to kind of brush dirt away because they found like a solid object and dusted this thing off. And the two divers, you can hear them talking to each other like, what is this? Like, wow. I don't know. I think we need to contact NASA. And sure enough, contacted NASA. NASA goes, yeah, that's ours.
Here's a massive hypothetical for you. Because like, if there was a way that you could press a button and all of the ocean water would disappear without any catastrophic effect, and you could see what was on the bottom of the ocean for all, wouldn't it be fascinating to find what is there down at the bottom of all the shipwrecks, all the plane crashes,
I think the History Channel has a show like that
where you could just go. You can just or be like, look at this piece. Like all, you know, just
there is a show that I can't remember what it's called. I don't think it's History. I think it's either Discovery Channel or National Geographic Channel, where it's like, you know, what if we drain the ocean floor?
Yeah,
and right. they drain it in a certain section so you could see everything that is there.
Some of this stuff would be remarkable. You would go, oh my gosh, look at this ship, because they made just all the ships, all the planes, all the everything that's sunk. It's been in the water, treasure chests, parts of like you said, the tragedy of the Challenger, pieces of that. You just find all sorts of stuff down in the belly of the ocean.
I know. I think it would be fantastic. Yeah. It would be amazing, especially in around. Like I would love to do it around the Caribbean.
Oh, of course, yeah.
Because you know you hear all the stories of all the ships that went down, like the pirate ships, and you know
it would
the
be
buried
gold
treasure
in them treasure chests. Yeah, right.
Yeah.
Exactly.
That's always fascinated me too. If you found a treasure like that, a sunken treasure, you get to keep it.
I grew up 10, 12 miles or so, 13 miles or so, maybe a little more from Concord High School, where Krista McAuliffe was where she was a teacher. So Challenger was kind of I remember delivering the paper that you know, the color paper that day when it blew up. So anytime I see Challenger news, I'm always like, wow. Amazing. It was very, very, very traumatizing as a young man.
That's what I said. I mean, it's cool. I mean, it's fascinating, but it is somber.
It is somber.
You know, because even like, you know, we're watching the news and my six-year-old was asking me like, what is that? What happened? So I had to show him the video, tell him all about it. I mean, he seemed genuinely interested and I was like, all right.
Yeah. I mean, it happened close to almost 40 years ago.
Yeah.
Getting up there, 1986.
I don't want to say that. I was using closer to 30. But I know that's off.
I was talking about this with a high school friend of mine, not maybe a year ago because we all, you know, it was obviously a big deal when we were in New Hampshire and whatnot, and we were kind of remembering it. And I was like, yeah, my God, that was like 35 years ago. And you just sort of go, man, that was some change.
That was a weird day. Yeah. I remember that day too.
What's the bad of the day?
The bad of the day is that Aaron Rodgers' teammates have had it.
With what?
They are no longer okay or willing to make them the scapegoat for his bad play. Aaron Rodgers, who always appears on the Pat McAfee show, called out his teammates, pretty much saying that there are some players who, you know, who shouldn't be playing because they just keep making too many mistakes.
Right.
So it's more about, you know, pointing the finger at everybody else, especially over last week at Willie's, when he threw three interceptions, two of which he, people really say, no, Aaron, that was more you.
Man, what hubris it must be to just feel like you can say these things and Americans will just be on your side. We don't like people doing this no matter who you are. We just don't. It turns us off as a society. So he must be like, well, I know that there's a certain percentage of this of the fan base of this team that will buy anything I'm selling, and then there's a part of this fan base that will that never liked me, and no matter what I do, so the middle ground is where I'm at. You turn people away with this. It's better to just go, it's as much as my fault as it is anybody else. But I think that's his. He's always been a guy that sort of prides himself on speaking on what he on his mind, right?
Mm-hmm.
Even if you think he's kind of all right, maybe he should slow down a little bit. So the honesty is refreshing, but it's not good for you because it's going to lead to this. Where if I'm on the Packers, and my quarterback, no matter who he is, if I'm a professional football player, and my quarterback, no matter who he is, Hall of Fame or whatnot, is making comments that I don't deserve to be on the team or playing, I'm going to eventually go, all right, I've had enough of that. I can't take it anymore.
At what point? What's the breaking point for a receiver not to fully run the route?
Right, right. Eventually, it's like, you know what? I'm done.
We've seen I remember the movie The Longest Yard with Adam Sandler, prison movie. You know, he was messing with the game, trying to, you know, throw the game. And so what did his offensive line do? They just let him all run in.
Right. Yeah.
And we know that's Hollywood. That's kind of a joke. It's kind of funny. You know, they just, you know, like, yeah, you're going to lose this game. Well, here, you know, lose it on your own. You're going to send five guys running at you. But seriously, at what point do one of these receivers just go, no, I'm not going to run that route?
Yeah, exactly.
You know, you're going to throw me under the bus. You're going to say that it's my fault. And it's really not sitting well because Aaron Rodgers missed OTAs. He wasn't there for a large part of the, you know, normal training camp session because he was off doing ayahuasca or whatever.
Yeah, it's when you have a little bit of the mutiny within the organization and it's going against a guy who probably never thought anyone would have a mutiny against him.
Yeah.
You're having problems. But yeah, I would absolutely I'm not doing the same
one. I know, you know, he is an intelligent man. He is a smart man. You know, is this an ulterior motive for him?
Well, if he's a smart man, he would realize that it's not working the same way as like Herb Brooks did it when he was with the U.S. hockey team or anybody else like in baseball where everyone was mad at the manager. So they all bonded together. Like it doesn't seem to be working.
Oh, no, I'm not saying that.
His ulterior motive?
Is this because he's frustrated with the front office that he's just going to cause turmoil?
Why would he do that?
I don't know. Because, I mean, it's Aaron Rodgers.
Well, I don't want to do that where I don't take it a couple of steps more. I don't, like, why would he self-destruct his career?
Is it to the point where he's not thinking he's self-destructing his career, but that's just self-destructing his team?
But that's what I
in the organization, because he's frustrated. He's, like, overly frustrated.
He can be frustrated, but self-destruction seems to be that's a huge step to sort of go. Like, to me, I'm using the Occam's razor thing here, all right? The simplest answer is the simplest. I'm not trying to get – I know he's a smart guy, but I don't want to give him Machiavellian traits here. You know what he is? He's just honest. That's all this is. He's being asked a question by a good friend of his in a more open dialogue than if he were to come on my show, and he's honest.
And he feels really comfortable.
And he feels really comfortable there. That's all this is. So we know that if you really want to know what's going on in a player's head, sneak into his house where with his wife and kids. Sneak into his house, even if he lives alone, sneak into his house where he's with, I don't know, his buddies just hanging around. That's where you'll get the real information. Not in a press conference, not at a podium, not in a locker room, not on standard radio shows or TV shows. Where you'll get them is when they're really relaxed. Like we used to say it all the time. I'd love to be a fly in the wall in his house tonight. Because wives, close friends, agents, they know the full story. And so if Aaron Rodgers has found a place to go to say public things. Now, he knows it's getting out, but he is just a guy that can't help himself in that setting, to be honest. He's done it many times. He did it with the vaccine. He's done it with wanting to leave. He's done it so many different times. That's, to me, where the answer is as to why he's doing it. I just think in the end, he knows he's at a high level where he doesn't feel like it's going to come back. Like, who is a 22-year-old wide receiver to tell Aaron Rodgers he's had enough of Aaron Rodgers? Like, that's what you can become, right? Where you can actually go, hold on, son. Who do you think I am? Who do you think you're talking to? Right? Brady has it. Rodgers has it. Manning had it. Where you can just be like, whoa. Let's not play this out because you're going to lose, kid. You're going to lose. And I think Rodgers feels that way about the people that are on his team.
So are we really witnessing, I can't remember the line from the movie, that you know, Aaron Rodgers is hanging around long enough to become the villain?
Yeah. Right. Because I don't, like, to me, players never beat the organization. Right? The love affair that fans have is to the organization. It's not to the players. Everybody that loves Aaron Rodgers, right, will hate him the moment he becomes a Minnesota Viking.
Yep.
Right? That's how it works. So when you have an idea that you'll sabotage you'll never sabotage the organization. The organization will be there forever. People will still buy tickets. They'll still watch it because they're passionate about the team. They're proud of their city. Or they're proud of the state. Whatever the city represents, whatever being a Packer fan represents to that individual. Maybe my dad was a Packer fan. I never grew up there, but I became a Packer fan. Whatever it is, the attachment is to that more than the player. So no player could ever sabotage the team. They can make the team uncomfortable, but the team will just go, fine, come back in 2 years, everybody, when we're better, because we'll be better. We'll always be here. So it would backfire completely if that was his intention. But I think he's just an honest guy that honesty catches up to him. And I think Pat McAfee gets it out of him because they're very close, very good friends. And I think it gets him in trouble.
Which were they teammates?
I don't think so.
Yeah, it always seemed weird to me that they became such good friends, not being teammates.
What's the dumb of the day?
The dumb of the day is that Nick Cannon, you've heard of him.
What's up with Nick Cannon, man?
Nick Cannon is officially welcoming his 12th child into the world, which, Tony, is one more than was reported last week.
How many different women have children?
Six.
Okay. Golly.
Hey, remember, one of them is Mariah Carey.
One of them is Mariah Carey.
She has two of his children, and then the rest are all with five other different women. Three of which are, you know, I almost feel like he is Mormon at this point because two women are pregnant right now.
Yeah, that's the thing. I saw a picture with him with some model.
Yeah.
Right? Where she had a pregnant belly and he was like being affectionate. I thought,
it's loving.
We're doing this with Nick Cannon again. Okay. And then, like, the next day, there was another completely different woman that was like, I'm having this baby too.
A real estate agent just had one of his babies this summer.
Okay.
So if you're doing the math, he has two 11-year-old twins with Mariah Carey, right? Those are that one feels like the most normal out of them all. Then he has a 5-year-old, and I want to say the rest of them are all under the age of two.
Does Nick Cannon have like 10 bucks now? Is that like all of his wealth is just going to support children?
No, I think
all over the place.
I think his parents were loaded.
Oh, I know he's a wealthy man, but you have 10. Look, here's the thing. When you're rich, you don't pay $200 a month for child support.
No.
He's probably paying 25 grand for child support.
That's just one family.
For one person.
But probably
so his accountant is like, all right, here it is, month again. I got to start writing these big checks.
Yeah, the only one he's probably not paying is Mariah Carey.
Right.
Because Mariah Carey, I think, you know, definitely has her own.
Oh, no. Oh, No. Ron, you are so funny. You are so funny if you think Mariah Carey went, no, it's okay. Don't worry about it. You have no. You don't have any responsibility.
Or maybe a discount. Stop. maybe he gets a discount with her.
Her lawyer went, I know you're rich. It don't matter. He's paying something. It's just on principle.
Yeah. So, yeah, I think.
I do like the world you live in, though, where you just think rich people are like, nah, it's all good. Don't worry about it.
Why not?
Why not? Because I would think that would be me, where if I had a lot of money, I'd be like, nah, it's okay. I'm not going to take you to court. Don't worry about it. No. But I wish it was like that. But still, it's like. That's a lot of kids
it
with
is.
A lot of different people. Well, that's a lot of checks to sign.
Well, not only that, but what I like is, or what I'm fascinated by is not the now, it's the 10 years from now.
Yeah.
When you have all these kids doing various activities that you got to try to make time for. And
you can't,
And
you
I think,
can't.
And you have like 6 or 7 that are all around newborn 1 year old right now.
That's a great point. When they're all like in baseball and soccer and basketball, and they're like, can you come to my game? And he's like, well, I can be at your game for 15 minutes, and then I got to go to another game for 10. And you, you're on the road. I got to get out. I can't make it all the way out there.
Plus, he's got to keep working.
Yeah. Plus, he's got to keep working.
You know,
he's got to keep doing Nick Cannon things.
For me, too, the rise of his hosting gigs, like how he became this, like, just. You know, he's like Dick Clark in a sense that he just gets all
right.
the. I don't even know where that came from.
Yeah,
I know he did that MTV show Wild and Out for a long time. That's kind of like how he got a start. But he went from that to, oh, I'm going to host this show and I'm hosting that show and I'm hosting. I mean, like major shows on the major networks.
Robert just sent me an article that says Nick Cannon pays $3 million a year in child support.
That doesn't surprise me.
That's crazy.
And I'm going to just throw it out there. Mariah Carey's only seen $10,000 of that a year.
I know, right? Yeah. And he's only 41 years old.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah. 12 kids by the end of next year. Well, it could be more. We don't know.
We got to go. All right. It's good, the bad, and the dumb on Wake Up Call.